Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan, as we do every Monday at 10:30. Hut, what's going on? How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Chase. Hope things are well.
Yeah, just breaking down this Titans game. Is they got a win, which means absolutely nothing in the preseason, but we saw Malik Willis for the entire game, you know, albeit a couple of snaps from Mason Kinsey at quarterback towards the end. I thought it was up and down. I thought the interception was pretty bad. He made some good plays with his legs. Do you feel like that he's still ahead of Will Levis as the number two, or do you think this competition is a little bit closer after the performance we saw Saturday night?
Just based on what I've seen, yeah, I think he's ahead of Will Levis. I think he's the backup right now, the QB2. I agree with what you said. I mean, the game is starting to slow down for him a bit. That's a good thing. He's not perfect by any means. He does deserve credit for the improvement from year one to now. As a runner, extremely gifted at times in practice and in talking with some of those either with the team or with the media that were in Minneapolis last week. He was decisive, on point. But in the game, Chase, as you well know, and so do our listeners, that he is hit or miss. And it's an uphill climb, even with the drops by the receivers in Saturday night's game. That's the good and the bad of Malik Willis. It illustrates why it's so important to keep Ryan Tannehill upright and clean in the pocket, because neither Malik Willis or Will Levis is ready to be a starter right now in the National Football League. But for right now, as we sit here going into the final week of the preseason, yeah, I think Malik Willis is the team's backup QB.
And what could that mean? You know, I think the overall question moving forward is, what could that mean for the future? You know, if they decide that this is, in fact, the last year for Ryan Tannehill and they want to move on, this time next year, are we talking about Malik Willis and Will Levis fighting it out to be the Titans starter?
Potentially, yeah. Yeah. And it all of that really hinges on the improvement of Will Levis. You know, like, I'm still waiting on that big jump. And what we don't know is the injury and how long that's going to set him back. The good news is there that they didn't go out and immediately want to bring in a QB, that, you know, they know, well, that whatever the injury is, isn't something long-term, which is good. And it was good to see him warming up prior to the game in Minneapolis at US Bank Stadium on the field. So with all that being said, there's a long time between now and then. It feels like forever ago that we were talking about Ryan Tannehill and whether or not he was going to be on this roster or not. And that was January, February, March. So, you have to wait and see. And you have to also see what the market bears in terms of what quarterbacks are out there on the free agent market. And that also, of course, would impact Ryan Tannehill and what they choose to do with him.
We're talking to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. With the Treylon Burks injury, and it could have been a lot worse. It looks like he could be back for the start of the regular season, give or take. This receiver battle gets even more interesting, because then it's okay. Well, are you going to have to keep an extra one than you had originally planned, because Burks may miss week one? Was it going to be five? Was it going to be six? And then Kyle Phillips gets hurt. Kyaris Jackson. I mean, they have guys that have gotten banged up in training camp and in the game. So how do you view this receiving battle right now outside of the spots that we know where they're going to go?
Man, I mean, it's brutal right now. We know what Burks means by receiving core, Chase. And if you think about it, just think of the feeling that everyone had whenever he went down with a knee injury Wednesday. You know, that feeling is what I think everyone had, and what you get with a lot of different players on this roster if they get hurt. You know, the margin for error, especially on offense, the margin for injury on offense is extremely thin. And Burks is a great example of that. With that in mind, I mean, the depth chart is going to take a hit, I think, because of that feeling, because of the fact that you have to have him and Hopkins. And by the way, it's evident whenever one or two are not out there during a practice.
Sure.
You see what the offense looks like. That's what they're working with. Chris Moore is you know, next on that depth chart. But beyond that, Chase, Racy McMath, you know, Colton Dow has been banged up. Mason Kinsey does a little bit of everything. Reggie Roberson has had flashes here or there, but yeah, there's not much that really stands out. So what comes after that? Probably the waiver wire. If in fact that we're going to see Burks wait a little while, and because of his value, I wouldn't be surprised if I know that Vrabel said they're going to sit back and make sure he's ready before they bring him back. But they avoided catastrophe. But I would make sure he's 101% before making sure he's back for week one, because of that feeling that you have if he's not back for the season and the importance of just the threats involved there. They have complementary pieces around the threats of the offense in the passing game. And right now that's Burks and Hopkins.
Talking to Jonathan Hutton, one bright spot that I thought has shown itself throughout, you know, training camp. And then we saw it Saturday night is Tajay Spears. I like what he brings to the table. They haven't really used him as much in the passing game yet, and I think we're going to see that more in the regular season. But what are your thoughts on the third round pick?
He's an impact player for Tim Kelly's offense and his playbook. I mean, he not only is he going to be, he already is. And I joked last night with John Burton, Chase, on Channel 5. I can't just when I think I can't personally lack any more athleticism or feel like I'm, you know, not athletic at all. A guy who reportedly does ACL or suffers from arthritis in his knee is the best player on the field Saturday night in Minneapolis. I mean, the Titans have found a weapon in him, in Spears. He brings a speed element to the offense, not just in the run game, but that is severely lacking in the passing game. And he has that burst, that quickness, the vision that you saw whenever the offensive line opened some things up for him on that touchdown run, that 33-yarder. That he has the ability, we've said this throughout the offseason, he has the ability to carry some of the load in the run game. He can be a three-down back if the Titans need him to be. But that should pay off for Derrick Henry as the season progresses too. And the way things stack right now, it looks very similar to last year. They just don't have Dontrell Hilliard. And Spears is a much more explosive, dynamic version based on what I've seen than Hilliard. But you have Henry, you have Spears. Last year, his son Haskins made this roster, and so did Julius Chestnut in week one. Not only appeared in six games, but he was a part of the four backs. They really carried five because they carried a fullback. He was a part of the four backs. Chestnut was, and Chestnut also looked pretty good last week.
Yes, he did. The kicking battle continues to be an interesting one. I'll tell you what I said earlier in the show, and this is what I think is going to happen. I think Caleb Shudak is going to kick week one. Beyond that, I'm not guaranteeing anything because I think there's some veterans out there that they could wait till after week one and not have to guarantee the salary. And it also depends on, you know, other kicking battles around the league and who gets cut. But I don't think either one of these guys, Trey Wolfe, I think, is taking himself out of the competition. You can't hit it, even though it went in, you can't hit an upright on an extra point when you're in a kicking battle, and he did that. I just don't think either one of them has the confidence of the coaching staff like they should. So how do you think that shakes out?
Man, I'm concerned about it, and I look at it from this angle, Chase. I don't know if the kicker is on the roster currently, even for week one. I mean, I'm thinking the way you are. It's a week-to-week deal. There's no reason why Wolf at this point can't beat out Shudak. I mean, with a strong week, they need to finish. And, you know, it's just this is a defensive-led football team that is run first on offense. And with that, the NFL set up to be close, tight windows anyway. And with that, you've got to have someone that doesn't have to hit 100% of his kicks, but someone that you know is going to go out there and get the job done with the game on the line with that kick. And those are the ones that I just sit there and think, man, is Shudak ready for that moment? Are these two ready for that moment? And I mean, some kicking battles, Chase, as you've well seen throughout the years, that you know that they would set up things so that the veteran felt a little pressure, you know, in camp, but there's really no battle. Last year, Brett Kern faced the pressure because he knew there was a battle with what they were doing right at punter and what they were doing with Stonehouse. This year, there's no setup for Shudak. This is a back-and-forth deal, and, you know, they didn't get as many looks as they wanted to in last preseason game. I would suspect that they make sure that they get the most looks possible going into week three and the preseason game against the Patriots because, you know, they've got to set up some situations to where they feel comfortable going into week one. There are 16 days between the final preseason game and week one in New Orleans. And there's no way you start that 16-day countdown feeling comfortable at kicker, no matter what happens against the preseason game against the Patriots. They're all 91 players on each roster, and we will see them cut down on the 29th to 53. There will be a lot of kickers available, and I think there will be a lot of tryouts, a lot of getting some looks inside the practice bubble and outside at the facility over at St. Thomas Sports Park.
Yeah, I do too. With the final preseason game on Friday, the joint practices with the Patriots have been canceled because of the Bolden situation in New England. They went back to New England. So you don't get that evaluation process. Vrabel was asked about it. How do you think he handles the final preseason game? And could we maybe see Ryan Tannehill get a series or two?
You know, we haven't traditionally seen Tannehill get a series or two. That's what's interesting. Same for Henry. Look, I think it impacts. I think it impacts their overall work on game day. I don't know if it necessarily impacts Tuesday or Wednesday's work, but Friday night's where we could see a few more starters in action than what we would have likely, just due to they want to see them in live action and reps against other starters. And we mentioned the wait between now and New Orleans. He may want to see some guys get up to speed, get some work, all things that would have been accomplished in pads and these joint practices. But, you know, to play or not to play, I absolutely would get some snaps in. But at the same time, I understand the injury concern in a live game situation. But, I mean, you're playing your offensive linemen. I would make sure that you play your starters. And I'm not putting Tannehill out there unless the entire starting offense is going to get some reps. But think about this, the players at quarterback, this is the quarterback chase, who did play or will play the preseason. Mahomes, Rodgers is going to play this week. Russell Wilson, Josh Allen, Tua Tagovailoa, Kenny Pickett, Jordan Love, Geno Smith, Mac Jones, Ritter, Stroud and Young. Richardson has played, but he didn't play this past week, which was a head scratcher. Fields, Herbert, Watson, Prescott, Lawrence, Goff, Carr, Mayfield. I may be leaving some out.
Yeah.
Plus Tannehill. Those are the guys who sat. And if you really look at those two lists, those are the haves and the have-nots for the most part. So, even if they're just getting four to six pass attempts, there's a reason why Super Bowl-winning coaches are putting their Super Bowl-winning quarterbacks on the field in limited action during the preseason. And most of those teams also had joint practices. This is an offense, Chase, that comes out notoriously slow over the last 2 years under what we've seen from Todd Downing. Slow, not just offensively scoring points, but like in week ones. They sucked against Arizona. They sucked against the New York Giants. And what they can't do is go down to New Orleans and do the exact same thing under Tim Kelly. I'm not saying that four or five snaps get you that. But again, there's a reason why good offenses, by and large, have their quarterbacks in the game this time of year in limited action in games that don't mean anything, because I do think it means something just to get some rhythm and timing down, especially, by the way, with a new center and a new offensive line, with guys calling protections and Tannehill changing plays at the line of scrimmage, which I doubt Malik Willis and Will Levis would be doing as much as.
Scared money don't make money. That's how I look at it. I would play him for a series or two, but we will see what Mike Vrabel ultimately decides. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll do it again next week.
That sounds good, Chase. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too. Jonathan Hutton, Outkick, Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow, weekdays 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. What do we think Mike Vrabel will do? We'll hear from the head coach next here on Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.